Robert Prosky, the renowned stage actor who also found fame playing roll call Sergeant Stan Yablonsky on Hill Street Blues, died this week in a Washington, D.C. hospital of complications from a heart procedure. He was 77. Prosky got his high-profile Hill Street role when he was in his 50s. He didn't start acting on film until 1981 in Michael Mann's Thief. Other movie roles followed in Broadcast News, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Natural, and Dead Man Walking. But on stage, Robert Prosky was a respected veteran. On Broadway, Prosky received Tony nominations for his work as a real estate agent in Glengarry Glen Ross and a Soviet arms negotiator in A Walk in the Woods. And for decades, Prosky worked with the Washington, D.C.-based Arena Stage, one of the most respected regional theater companies in the country. He appeared in more than 125 roles over the years, including playing Willie Loman in a highly acclaimed staging of Death of a Salesman. Washington Post drama critic Peter Marks, in his appreciation of Robert Prosky's stage work there, wrote, quote, "His name on a cast list was like the guarantee on the label of a premium brand. As you sat and waited for him to appear, you knew you could count on something solid, packed with flavor," unquote. Terry Gross interviewed Robert Prosky in 1988 when he was co-starring in the David Mamet film Things Change.
You spent about, 23 years with Arena Stage in Washington, D.C.?
That's right. I went down there from New York to do one play and stayed there and raised a family and got married there. And it was something that was rather unusual for an American actor to have that kind of background or that kind of opportunity. It's one of the best, still is one of the best. I just saw a play the other day, theaters in the country. And they do everything, new plays, old plays, classics. I played something like 130 roles there over 23 years.
I guess that's a terrific opportunity. I think of so many actors who, for instance, if they get their start on television, play one role every 6 years. To play 130 roles over a period of years gives you... Certainly, you must learn a lot doing that much.
You certainly do, and I performed every night. In fact, I think for the first 20 years, I didn't miss a performance, and I was working all the time. I think it was a kidney stone that finally stopped me. it is unusual, and it gives, hopefully, a large... range to the actor who does it. I think most of the people know me as Sergeant Yablonsky, but I've done a great deal of Shakespeare. I've done Brecht. I've done Chekhov. I've done Shaw. I've done modern plays. I've done a lot of David Mamet. And our society doesn't particularly reward the actor who can do that. And it's a more European concept for an actor.
You're from a working class background yourself. Is it any easier to fit into a working class role?
Not necessarily. The role that's easy to fit into is a well-written role, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's more challenge. Yablonsky was pretty well-written generally, particularly in the segment that David Mamet wrote. No, I don't think my background helps me in many, many different ways. I come from a huge Polish family in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact, and... I went to college there, and it's helped me a great deal with Yablonsky, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear an excerpt of you playing Yablonsky. Now, this role was started under extenuated circumstances. Michael Conrad, who had played the role called Sergeant since the beginning of the show, died very tragically, and after a while, you were chosen to take that part of the role called Sergeant. The part was written very differently for you than it was for him. But you probably felt really on the spot having to not only replace this really popular actor in the role on the series, but to also take his place in the ensemble cast that you were playing with.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting parallel. Yablonsky was a different character coming into an established job that had been vacated by the death of the former desk sergeant. Yablonsky had been a desk sergeant in another precinct, so he was a man of great experience who was coming into a new situation, so he was somewhat on the line. I, as an actor, had somewhat of a reputation. Most of the people on Hill Street had seen me in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway, But I also was coming into a new situation as an actor. So the character's experience was paralleling the actor's experience. And that's usable material for the actor.
Well, I want to play an excerpt of the very first roll call that you did on Hill Street Blues.
All right.
Officer Renko!
Yes, sir, that would be me, Sergeant.
I understand you could be expecting to be with child. All other units, you be prepared to back Hill and Renko up, okay? That's it. Let's get out there. Let's do it to them before they do it to us. Hey, don't forget. Stasia Blonsky, never cold-cocked, no woman.
Yeah, I should mention when he takes on that job, he was accused of hitting a senior officer who was a woman.
That's
at his previous precinct.
In the other precinct, right.
So tell me what it felt like that very first day when you played the part of Yablonsky filling into that role.
Well, it was a little difficult. I was uptight, I would say. Of course, that's not unusual for me. I've never gotten rid of that in 30 years of being an actor. The opening night or the first time is a tension-provoking situation for me always. I knew some of the actors. I had played Shakespeare with the man who plays Belker, Bruce Weitz. It's difficult for people to believe that he has done Shakespeare. Maybe it's difficult for them to believe that I have. But I knew a few of them. I had worked with Charlie Hayde once before. But a series is a different situation, and I had never done a series. That's what I was uptight about. There isn't much time for rehearsal. There isn't much time for research. They light it, and you do it. And the roll calls were done as a straight go. I mean, there was no cutting back and forth. I mean, eventually they did in their editing. But they put two cameras on me, and the roll call started at the top and went through to the end. Then they would turn them around and do the shots of the reactions from the other policeman.
During part of your stay on Hill Street, you were out for a few weeks. Your character had a heart attack. I figured you actually got a role in a movie
actually,
or a show and asked to be written out for a few weeks.
That's not far from the truth. One of my problems was that I had never done a series, and I avoided series as much as I could. I had a number of offers. I was I had accepted Cheers once before they ever started it. It was for a 13-week commitment to play the bartender, and then I turned it down because I can't imagine myself playing the same role for 7 years. So with Hill Street, we were in the third year, and I was getting other offers, and we talked about it. And I actually did another pilot, and if the other pilot had been picked up, I probably would have died of the heart attack on Hill Street.
So but I guess they left that open-ended, huh?
Yes, they did, and that's unusual for a series, but Hill Street was an unusual series. There was an open-door policy between the writers and the actors and the producers, and Stephen Botchko was one of the originators who now does L.A. Law, and he's an extraordinary man. He's unique in television. He really is.
Let me talk a little bit with you about your background. I know your father had worked in a factory and then owned a grocery store.
That's right.
When you were in the Army, you had to get a hardship discharge after your father died. Your family needed you to help support the family.
That's right.
And you took over the family grocery store.
Yes, I did.
Did you have other aspirations and see taking over the grocery store as being a burden?
Yes, I did not particularly appreciate it, but it was an obligation I had to do, and I wasn't very good at it, frankly. And I continued. I never really thought of myself as becoming an actor. I loved the amateur theater that I did in Philadelphia, but I never had the courage to think of it as a profession.
Is it harder, do you think, sometimes coming from a working-class background where there isn't a history of art or theater or entertainment
maybe
in the family? And it might seem like a really out-of-reach aspiration.
That might be true, but I have worked with a lot of actors who come from the same sort of background, and they bring a vitality to the work that is useful. There's an actor in New York called Phil Bosco. I worked with him years ago. I don't know whether you know him. He does an awful lot of classics. He's a very fine actor. Off stage, he sounds and looks like a Jersey City truck driver. On stage, he's John Gielgud. but there is a vitality, and I draw a great deal on my background and that huge family and the interrelationships. In fact, I have two sons who are actors, and they are beginning to think that they wish they had that same sort of background, having worked with my hands, having worked hard. All of the marvelous, colorful immigrants that I knew who were my relatives, older relatives.
Did you have to leave the grocery in order to start acting professionally?
Yes, I did. I had an opportunity in Philadelphia. It was an amateur TV dramatic talent search. It was a sort of a silly thing, actually. It was competitive acting, if you can imagine that. And I won that, and one of the prizes was a role at Bucks County Playhouse. Walter Matthau was in the play, and it was directed by Ezra Stone, who used to do Henry Aldrich on radio. And they suggested I get some training. I had never literally opened a book about acting. And I won a scholarship to the American Theater Wing, which had a school at the time. The scholarship was given by the New York Drama League. And my mother recognized that I really did not like what I was doing and encouraged me to go off to New York and become an actor.
So that spared you the guilt of feeling that you were walking out on the family by leaving the store?
Yes, it did. I was an only child, although the family was huge. There were innumerable cousins and aunts and uncles. I was an only child, and the store did close after I left. Luckily, my mother remarried, and that worked out very well. But it was very much to her credit, and indeed to the other relatives. They all encouraged me, which I find interesting. They had none of the cliché feelings about, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't try that, that's what we shouldn't do. They encouraged me.
I know that one of your frustrations when you were working only on the stage was that you never had a permanent record of your work.
Yes.
After the show was over, there was no record of its existence except for print reviews. Now that you have a more permanent record through your work on TV and movies, what meaning does it have for you? What do you do with it? Do you sit down and watch it to see how you've changed? What uses of it are important to you?
Just that it's there. I don't look to see how it's changed or anything of that sort. As a matter of fact, it's not really there. I don't have a record of me doing Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman or Galileo or some of those roles, and I would love to be able to do work of that level on film, and I haven't really as yet, I don't feel. Of course, even though that is frustrating, and it frustrated me more and more as I was doing larger roles and, I hope, better work at Arena, there is also a joy in a stage production. There is a unique event that's built each evening between the audience and the actor. It's not just the actor. It's built together, and it's unique to that event. Joe Chaykin, who writes on theater, said that one of the beauties of theater is the shared mortality in the space. And that's why it's precious, is because it lasts an instant. And it's the essence of the actor's work, is to create the moment, the now. And the now only exists for an instant.
Robert Prosky speaking to Terry Gross in 1988. The respected stage, screen, and TV actor died this week at age 77.